Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. 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 Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Some of you know that I recently had the privilege of being on the island of Iona, which is off of the Scottish coast, for a week of continuing education and prayer and retreat time. I'll be doing an adult forum sharing more about the trip in a couple of weeks. But this morning, I would love to tell you a little bit about an amazing synchronicity that happened on the island, which, of course, can only be arranged by God. As I, went through the days of worshiping at the Abbey community and taking long walks and eating meals in the restaurants in the little village of on Iona, my path regularly crossed with one particular gentleman. We would sort of nod and smile at each other when we were walking down the road or having breakfast in the same room together. And finally, by Sunday, he and I ended up sitting next to each other at the Eucharist at Iona Abbey. So at the peace, we finally sort of laughingly introduced ourselves and exchanged the peace. And I said, "Hi, my name's Libby Gibson. I'm visiting from Cape Cod in Massachusetts." And he said, "Hi, my name is John Philip Newell, who you may or may not know is one of the greatest Celtic theologians currently alive and writing, and one of my spiritual heroes." And it took every ounce of restraint for me not to fall down and start prostrating myself at his feet. It was so extraordinary to think that I had had the gift of being on that sacred isle with this incredible man who's one of his recent books I happened to be reading on the time that I was on Iona. His book is called New Harmony, and in it, John Philip Newell looks at the ways that through Celtic Christian practices and beliefs, God is calling us to remember the primary union that we all have in God. In part of the book, he tells the story of his father, John Philip Newell's father, who was born in Belfast in Northern Ireland in the early part of the 20th century when the Troubles, or the great violence that was still unfolding in Northern Ireland, was regularly breaking out. Although his father and his father's family did not participate in the violence, John Philip Newell says there's just no way that you could be raised in a culture with so much conflict and so much hatred and not have it infect you in some way. And part of the way that it impacted John Philip Newell's father is that he had never been to the Republic of Ireland, which of course is a predominantly Roman Catholic country, until he was in his early 80s, and something caused him to want to visit the Republic, and he asked his son to arrange a holiday down on the Dingle Peninsula, which I know many of you have visited and is an absolutely exquisitely beautiful part of Ireland. So the whole family goes down for a holiday, and they're staying in the cottage, and Sunday comes around, and John Philip Newell says he was feeling somewhat hesitant and protective of his very Protestant father when it came time to find a church. He said, somewhat naively, "I kind of hoped that there would be a Protestant church around, but no such luck. St. Mary's Catholic Church was the closest to the cottage where they were staying." And he said, "I was very curious and somewhat anxious to know what my father would do, what he would choose." And sure enough, his father and mother decided to go to St. Mary's Church. He'd never, missed church a weekend in his life, and he wanted to go to church, and so he did. He was so warmly received by the Catholic priest who was in the church, who had a very friendly and welcoming and almost chatty liturgical style, that John Philip Newell says by the time that communion came around, he and his father had tears streaming down their face as his father went to receive communion from a Catholic priest. When you think about the amazing change and the extraordinary openness of heart and spirit that it took for this 83-year-old man who had never even wanted to set foot in this country to be receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ at the hands of a Catholic priest is overwhelming. John Philip Mill goes on to say, even more amazingly, later in the day, there was a Celtic music festival at a local Irish pub, and my teetotaling mother came with us and had a beer. I'm not sure which was more shocking. When we think about those kinds of boundaries or divisions or conflicts that arise in our world, in our communities, in our families, and in our very own lives, I think that the example of John Philip Mill's family, but more importantly, the teachings that he offers us through Celtic Christianity, for me, give me an image to cling to when I feel that God is calling me to break through one of those barriers, to do something that feels too difficult for me. The image that he uses many in the book, but is the Celtic cross. And we are so fortunate that we have one hanging right here to use as our illustration this morning. John Philip Newell reminds us that the vertical axis of the cross, of course, connects earth to heaven, human to the divine, the more material to the spiritual. You know, this is a constant sort of byway, highway running back and forth between us and God. And then the horizontal axis can represent all of the different spectrums that we find ourselves on as human beings. Whether it is Protestant and Catholic, Northern Irish and the Republic of Ireland, male, female, homosexual, heterosexual, black, white, healthy, ill, our gospel lesson is all about those kinds of dichotomies, the rich man and poor Lazarus, who had plenty to eat and only had crumbs at the table, who was healthy and who was covered with sores. As human beings, so much of our lives can get divided up into these different polarities. If you're having a conflict with somebody, I'm right and she's wrong. We have Republicans and Democrats whose verbal attacks on each other are as violent as any of us have ever heard in our lifetimes. So John Philip Newell says, if we imagine the horizontal axis being all of those points of conflict and division where we find ourselves as human beings, they are united. The vertical axis of the divine and the human and all that we experience in our humanity by this primal unity in God. The gift of this unity, of this circle, is not to rethink that we are broken, that we are fundamentally wrong. When we have our baptism of beautiful Virginia in a little bit, we are celebrating her belovedness as God's child and embracing her in the church in all of its sacredness and unity, which reminds us that this is our primary state. The polarities make us think that we are separate. The polarities make me think that I can survive and thrive as long as I'm well, regardless of what happens to our poor brothers and sisters, our friends who are struggling, people who are heartbroken and grief-stricken. Celtic Christianity in this image reminds us that unity with God is our prime identity and calls us back to that. Now, we are not called back to that, you know, to break those incredibly painful divisions on our own. But we see in the very center of the cross is, of course, where the ultimate gift of love was given to humanity by Jesus Christ. Whenever we can find ourselves in a peaceful place, and the Celtic Christians, of course, will look immediately to nature and to the glory of God's created world as one place where we find that serenity. In the silence of the early morning, when listening to a beautiful piece of music, having a deep and intimate conversation with a friend, whatever is that place where you experience love and peace and a sense of wholeness, this grounds you and calls you back back to the place where all boundaries and all divisions cease. So whatever it is in your life that causes you to feel anxious or fearful or angry and frustrated because of some boundary, some of you have shared that in this political season, that friends won't speak to you because of a particular sign that you have in your yard, or when politics come up around a conversation, immediately the conversation turns tense. So for some of us, thinking and finding that place of unity and love in the center of that dichotomy might be where we are called to. For others, it might be finding a point of acceptance around illness, either your illness or a loved one's illness, where we feel this polarity of health and sickness, but the unity, the connectedness that we all have in God and in Jesus' love can give us the strength to overcome the things that would divide us. Whatever the boundary is in your heart and in your life that you are praying is transformed, I hope that you will bring it with you to the communion table today and offer it on the altar just as John Philip Newell's father came forward with open hands and open heart to receive the gift of Jesus' body and blood from that Catholic priest. And in that place of openness and acceptance, may you feel God's love poured into your heart, reminding you that you are whole and beloved, and that it is only when we can feel that wholeness united with all of God's children that our creation will be restored. Amen.